Good morning and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. I'm Al Levine and we're joined today by Roger Lind. She's the founder and CEO of AFW and Anne, Director of Community Relations. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
So Angels for Warriors is what AFW stands for, but explain a little bit more about what Angels for Warriors is.
Angels for Warriors is a 501c3 nonprofit resource center for veterans and their families. I started the organization over a year ago, almost 2 years ago actually, as the sister and caregiver of a veteran who was severely injured in Afghanistan. I experienced firsthand how difficult it is for veterans to obtain the services that are available to them. So I started Angels for Warriors to help veterans better navigate the bureaucratic system.
Mm-hmm. And that system is a little twisty and turny, I guess, huh?
Yes, it is.
So what would you say, Roger Lind, is the mission of AFW exactly?
Well, the mission of AFW is to help veterans acclimate to civilian life by helping them obtain the benefits that they need and to provide legal assistance when needed at a pro bono or reduced rate.
And what exactly is your professional background? How did you get involved with all this, you know, to connect into it this way?
I am an attorney by trade.
Okay.
I've been practicing for over 20 years. I no longer practice because I've taken on the responsibility of running the organization full time. But yes, I'm an attorney by trade.
Okay. And what should Long Islanders be aware of with regard to the veteran population in particular?
Well, per capita, we have the largest veteran population in the country. For a small island, we send out a lot of people to fight in these wars.
Hmm. And what makes AFW different from other veteran organizations in particular?
Well, we are a resource center. So basically, we give our veterans the information that they need. And we give them the tools to reach these organizations. We vet every organization before we refer our veterans to these organizations. And we make contact with the principals of the organization. So we make certain that they are, in fact, working on behalf of the veterans. We have personal contacts at each organization that we send our veterans to.
Okay. So that sounds like a lot of work, a lot of help from the group.
Yes.
To get that going.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And why did you choose to have your office located in East Northport, of all places?
Well, it's a small office on a small street, but it's near public transportation. It's near the Long Island Railroad. It's near taxi service. And most importantly, it's only 2 minutes from the Northport VA.
Oh, okay. That's always nice to know. So, in your opinion, is the experience of our returning warriors different from previous generations?
Well, in previous generations, if the veteran was fortunate enough to make it back home, he did not have to fear being sent back to war or being redeployed.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the case with this generation. Some of the men and women who have been deployed to the Middle East have been deployed 3, 4, five, sometimes even more. And this really impacts their families. It impacts their caregivers. It impacts the soldier significantly. I always say it's impossible for anyone to be the same person after fighting in a war. So you can only imagine after fighting in a war multiple times.
Right.
How difficult it will be for them to even be a shadow of the person that they were before they left.
So how do you see that changing your role and what you're doing today versus what it was?
Well, the challenges that I see our veterans facing today is lack of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the nation itself has very few employment opportunities, but when you look at the percentage of veterans that are coming back to absolutely no employment, no job opportunities. They also experience a delay in processing their benefits. So between the time that they get home and the time they actually have some form of income is pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty extensive time period. Also, with regard to the psychological stresses that they undergo, some of them come home to families and they have no jobs. They have PTSD. They have physical wounds as well. So it's very difficult for them to acclimate to society upon their return.
Okay. And in what ways has AFW helped veterans since opening in March of 2013?
Well, what we've done several things. One of the things that I find most important is that we've had several roundtables for employment. We've done job fairs to try to get our veterans employed. Together with the VA, we had a job fair preparation seminar where we actually had the veterans come in. We had people go through their resumes with them. We had mock interviews. We received donations of suits and ties and shoes.
Oh, great.
Just so that if a veteran came in and was not equipped with the clothing to go on an interview, we had them pick clothing out so that they can be dressed properly for an interview.
Nice. Have you noticed a shift in needs of the veterans this year as compared to the year before? Are things changing, I guess? Are there trends coming up here?
There are trends coming up. What I've found within the past year is that our veterans really need legal representation. There are resources out there for people who live below the income level, where they can obtain free legal representation. And I don't mean an 18B attorney in criminal court. I mean representation with regard to child support, any issues with regard to family law, issues with regard to denial of Social Security benefits. Sometimes you need an attorney to go in with you and represent you.
Mm-hmm.
There are organizations out there that will provide legal representation, but there are qualifications that have to be met. Sometimes our veterans don't fall within those guidelines, so they're kind of left with no help.
Mm-hmm.
So the trend that I'm seeing is that we really need to step up and help them with their legal needs.
Okay. Their professional needs pretty much a constant, I guess. You know, their need to get back into the workforce.
Exactly.
But the legal aid stuff is really coming up more.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what organizations have you worked closely with to get all these things done?
Well, we work with a number of attorneys that have actually stepped up and have decided to take one case pro bono and run with it and see it to fruition. We also work with the Veterans Administration. We work closely with the VA hospital. We work closely with the Department of Social Services. We work closely with the Urban League, Soldiers Project. We work with Congressman Steve Israel's office, Boots on the Ground, Island Harvest, because sometimes our veterans don't have adequate nutrition
mm-hmm.
or food.
Right.
So these are just some of the organizations that we work with.
That's great, getting involved with a lot of folks. How about with volunteers? If someone's listening and wants to help out, is there an option for that?
Yes.
Oh, Ann's going to feel bad. Okay. And the Director of Community Relations for AFW. So tell us about that, Ann.
Well, we have plenty of opportunities to volunteer, and we currently have our second annual fundraiser coming up November 14th. It's a Friday night, and we have lots to do in preparation for the fundraiser. So if anybody's interested in volunteering, they can go ahead to our website or give us a call at angelsforwarriors.org, or you can call us at 631-651-5471, and we can go from there.
Okay, great. So a fundraiser coming up. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going to be happening at that event?
Well, we'll have lots of local people, and we've invited our councilmen and legislators and veterans themselves and families that we have grown close to. And if anybody's interested in purchasing tickets, it'll be a great evening with dinner and dancing and raffles, all for a good cause, all to help our veterans. We have so many exciting things coming up with Angels for Warriors, and especially taking on the legal aspect has really been exciting for us because of there's just a dire need in the veteran community for people like Roger Lynn. You know, I came into this organization 6 months ago as just a part-time, you know, employee, and really everything that we do has become a labor of love. And seeing our veterans and seeing their faces and seeing the help that we're able to give them on a daily basis has really been heartwarming.
Mm. That's great.
Yeah.
So this is a great time to spread the awareness of what you can do for our warriors. And it's going to happen again November 14th. And
yes.
And where is it?
November 14th. It's at La Casa Cafe in Northport, New York.
Okay.
We're going to have a local band, Peter Mazzio. I'm sure a lot of people know him.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be playing, and it's a great fun. It's really we're going to have a limited open bar. We're going to have buffet dinner, and the tickets are only $65 a person.
Okay.
So.
Sell away. You know what? We'll repeat all that information again as the program continues, so we make sure everyone who's hearing gets a chance to figure that one out. Now, if an attorney would like to volunteer their time pro bono to help out a veteran, how can they go about doing that?
So we are looking for attorneys. It's a great opportunity for young attorneys who currently are probably not employed to join us, a retired attorney who maybe wants to take on a case during their free time, you know, in between golf, you know.
Right.
It's something that, quite frankly, I think that we are so grateful for what we have, and I think it's a great opportunity to give back to our community. And who better to receive than the people that have actually fought for us, mm-hmm. fought for our freedoms.
Sure.
And, you know, fought for the rights that we enjoy every single day. So if an attorney would like to volunteer pro bono, he can call our office at 651-5471, or he can email us at angelsforwarriors.org.
Great. So moving forward here, we've accomplished a lot. What goals are you seeing in the future that you really want to get to that you haven't yet?
So the most important thing that we would like to accomplish in the coming year is we would like to create a fund specifically for the legal representation of veterans. We will use the fund to pay the veterans' court fees, and if a case turns out to take longer than anticipated, we can compensate the attorney for his or her time,
mm-hmm.
obviously on a limited fee basis, but you know, most people think attorneys are rich. Not all attorneys are rich. You know, they too need to feed their families,
sure,
and we understand that.
Of course.
So we'd like to create a fund for that purpose.
Sounds right. As you were saying before, the need for this is coming up exponentially, so you want to match it with a better way to get that done. What kind of donations do you accept?
Well, we accept... we are currently self-funded, meaning that I use my personal savings to fund the organization.
Mm.
So we welcome any size donation. No donation is too small. If it's $10, $25, if you own a business and want to donate something to our raffle for the fundraiser, as I said, no donation is too small. We accept cash. No, we don't accept cash. We accept checks, and you can go online. We accept PayPal. You can use your credit card. And as I said, we are a 501c3, so your donation is tax deductible.
And again, this is going to be for Angels for Warriors, so Google that. And anything else specific to that website that they should be looking for, or just Angels for Warriors in general?
Angelsforwarriors.org.
.org, okay. Mm-hmm.
And we have another opportunity that we're calling sponsoring a case, where, you know, you would be given an opportunity if we know of a particular case that is taking a little bit longer or is a little bit more complicated, and we actually have a dollar amount associated with a case, that you would have the option to specifically sponsor that case.
Oh, okay. Roger Lynn, I imagine you have some stories to tell about some past cases, and you can go into a little bit more detail about any particular person who's come to you for help with AFW. You guys had mentioned PTSD. Maybe you want to cover exactly what that condition is and, you know, why people would need your help.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get into specifics with regard to any particular veteran.
Of course.
PTSD, some people used to call it, in the 60s, they used to call it shell shock. Basically, it's an acronym for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
And one can experience post-traumatic stress disorder just being in a car accident, but that becomes more significant when you're actually in a war and you see people getting killed and you are in bombing situations and your Humvee has exploded, or you've seen the guys, your comrades, getting killed, you know. So that's something that just stays with you. And
we're not necessarily talking physical damage here. We're talking mental. Exactly. We're talking all kinds of implications.
Absolutely. And what happens with a lot of these veterans coming back is they just can't they can't get past that point. They go to sleep, they see it in their sleep. They wake up, they see it in, you know, during their waking moments.
Right. And this isn't just Hollywood, because I know we've seen this kinds of thing in movies, and we always think what we watch in movies is either over dramatized or misrepresented somehow. I'm sure some of it is, but this stuff really exists.
It definitely exists, and it affects every aspect of a soldier's life. That's not to say that a soldier can't move on and live a normal life, but it does take a lot of therapy, and it does take a lot of support on behalf of the family.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, the family expects the soldier to come back home and be the same person that left, and that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And family members need to understand that you need to be patient,
right,
and you need to show the person that you love consideration. And most importantly, you need to be patient with them.
Right.
They are trying. I'm sure that it's hard for them. I know it's hard for my brother. My brother was in incredible shape when he left. And he was blown up in a Humvee. He was in a wheelchair. He had multiple surgeries. And he looks at himself and he says, I'm not the same person I used to be.
Mm.
He doesn't look like the same person. He doesn't act like the same person. But I look at his eyes and I know he's the same person.
Right, right.
I still have that love and affection for him.
Of course, of course. Mm. Now, in terms of what they did for a living before they left and when they came back, do you see a lot of transitioning in careers, or do you see them going back to the same ones?
Well, because there are multiple deployments, companies can only hold on to a position for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And by law, they have to hold on to the position for a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
However, the veteran comes back and is deployed 6 months later, a company can't wait for,
right,
they need to fill that position.
So there's a challenge there, yeah.
And then what happens also is we don't realize that, or the veteran doesn't realize that while they are overseas, they are gaining more experience. They're gaining other employable
skills.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we as a society have to be able to understand that these skills can be transferred into our everyday life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
So someone who works on a Humvee can come in and work at a bus company, say, or can work at a garage, mm-hmm. or can work, you know, for huge corporations that, you know, fixing engines and, right. you know, that sort of thing.
So you gain a lot of skills out there in battle. You learn things that you had to learn, you had no choice to,
exactly.
and come back with a different type of experience. So.
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely. And they're coming out needing assistance with getting their resumes together.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And really, we're, you know, oftentimes it's multiple issues going on with our veterans. They need assistance getting their resume together, finding employment, learning to live on their own once again, actually getting started up on their own. You know, needing 1 month's rent, 1 month's security, really getting their feet on the ground. And what we have done is vetted on Long Island. You know, we're really a filtering system at Angels for Warriors because you can come to us and we know who exactly can help you in each of these areas. So
send them in the right direction to get started, at least.
Yes. Absolutely.
On what they need to do.
Yeah.
So angelsforwarriors.org is the website to look up some of the information if you're thinking this might be something that applies to me or someone you know. And we have the fundraiser coming up. Let's mention that again. It's November 14th. And the location and what's going on again, ladies?
It's at La Casa Cafe in Northport. It's on. It's at Crab Meadow Beach, so it's on the beach.
Okay.
It's a really beautiful, idyllic spot. We have Peter Mazzio playing. We have a limited open bar. Buffet dinner, raffles, and lots of fun.
Still looking for sponsors?
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Okay.
We look for sponsors every single day.
So come on in, sponsors. And again...
Actually, Capital One is going to be one of our sponsors.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Anybody else you want to thank for getting involved?
So
that you can think of?
Yeah, well, I have a slew of people I'd like to thank. One of our great attorneys is Joe Matza. He has taken on so many of our cases, and he has done them all pro bono. So we want to thank
Fantastic.
Him.
Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. Angelsforwarriors.org is the website, and November 14th, the fundraiser. Good luck on that. Hope it goes great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we're talking with Roger Lynn, founder and CEO of Angels for Warriors, and Ann's the director of community relations. Thanks for joining us, and continued success.
Thank you,
Al.
You've been listening to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI.